Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. And this week's opening quote comes from C.S. Lewis. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, please do accept my apologies for not being able to bring you a show last week, folks. I was away at a couple of speaking dates and just didn't have the time to get it together. But I am back this week, and I'll be back next week and for the next couple of weeks until around about February 15th when I actually have to travel away to Mexico. So there'll be another week or two in February where I'll unfortunately be off air as well. I am sorry about that, folks. I do my best to keep the shows coming as regularly as possible, but sometimes life just seems to get in the way. And, well, you know, I would love to be coming onto these shows and delivering you incredibly positive information and telling you how much freedom is being created and how great the future is. And hopefully I'll get around to that sort of a conversation later in the show, because the future really can be whatever we want it to be. And I would really like to be a positive influence on the people who listen to the show and not to be one of the most depressing people you've ever listened to in your life. And I really hope that is not the case, and I do like to bring you as much empowering information as I can. I mean, let's face it, there is always opportunity in any crisis. And so becoming aware of this information really does provide us an opportunity to heal the situation. And so that's one positive slant you can put on things. And as I said, folks, I do really want to keep things positive, and I would love to be bringing you some incredibly empowering information about how great everything's becoming. But the reality is that the world seems to be continuing on in its downward spiral. It doesn't really matter if I have time off, things don't really seem to change. It almost becomes difficult to come and do these shows when it's just reporting the same things, the same corruption, and the same downward spiral of the human dilemma. And we're certainly seeing this continue unabated. Trump's theatrical withdrawal of troops from Syria. He's saying he's going to withdraw the troops immediately, but then he said, well, maybe it won't be so immediate. And you've got to understand as well that the 2,000 troops that Trump is withdrawing from Syria are the 2,000 troops that he put in there himself. But of course, while this is ongoing, we see Israel escalating the conflict in Syria as best they can, attacking what they call Iranian targets. And consider this, folks, because the conflict in Syria has been winding down. Trump saying he's going to withdraw troops. Everybody in Syria is going back to normal. And so Israel takes it upon itself to bomb another country because it claims there are Iranian targets in the country. And yet it claims it isn't at war with Iran or attempting to create any type of conflict with Iran. Now think about it. How many Israeli targets has the Iranian military bombed? They haven't bombed any. You know, the only reason the Iranian forces are even in Syria is because they've been invited in there by the Syrian government. So what is it Israel's business who the Syrian government invites in to help? And what right does it have to just go and bomb people from another country when it's claiming it isn't involved in any conflict with this country? I mean, as usual, Israel just does what it wants, and it's a very, very one-sided affair. But, you know, Israel has been attempting to kickstart some sort of a conflict with Iran for many years. I mean, we all know that this is what's been going on. Remember Benjamin Netanyahu there with his Acme bomb that he held up in front of the United Nations in the biggest joke that I think has ever been seen in anybody's political career? But, I mean, he just gets up there and tells barefaced lies, and he's been doing it habitually for many years in a constant attempt to kickstart a conflict with Iran. Now, Israel simply doesn't want Iran there because Iran will not bow down to Israeli control of its government the way most Western governments have done. I mean, Israel has been attempting to start some sort of a conflict with Iran for many years. I mean, all of the rhetoric from Trump that we see regarding Iran is all Israeli-backed. I mean, most U.S. foreign policy is based on Israeli foreign policy and all supports the state of Israel. But apart from attempting to kickstart some sort of a conflict with Iran through all of this, Israel very much also wants to ensure that the conflict with Syria continues because it wishes to annex Syria for Greater Israel, the way it's done with the Golan Heights. So Israel desperately wants to keep the conflict in Syria going. This is why Israel has been providing weapons and logistic support and medical support to ISIS terrorists in Syria, because if the terrorists are in Syria, it doesn't really view them as terrorists, it views them as moderate rebels. And it just wants to work to continue the destruction of Syria. And it needs to be clearly understood, again through all of this, that there has never ever been a people's uprising or a civil war in Syria. It's never been that. What is happening in Syria is a Western-backed mercenary force masquerading as terrorists who are going in there attempting to undermine a legitimately elected government, because the United States and Israel were not able to carry out an overt open invasion due to public outcry, so they carried out a covert invasion with a secret mercenary force masquerading as a terrorist uprising in the country. It's just about destabilizing the region and splitting it up into sectarian factions for later takeover, folks. Divide and conquer is the motto. And it's the same with the conflicts in all of the countries surrounding Israel. It's very interesting when you look at all of these countries and you look at the state of Israel and you look at Israel's claim that it is the victim at the hands of all of these countries, but when you, as I said, look at the countries, the picture that you see definitely paints a very different story to the words that are being uttered. But that's really the same with everything politicians say, isn't it? It's really the same with everything they say and do. I mean, getting back to the state of Israel, I mean, Israel is a state that is carrying out war crimes in the form of collective punishment anyway, so it shouldn't be receiving any support and it shouldn't be receiving any tolerance from the rest of the world. I mean, it really shouldn't. It's just such an incredible double standard that we see a state that's able to carry out collective punishment, which is a war crime, and it still gets the support that it does. But really, when you look at it, I mean, look at what Trump's doing against the people of Iran at the moment. Trump has put, what, 105 sanctions or something against the state of Iran? And is this not collective punishment against the people of Iran? I mean, what it is an act of war, because putting sanctions against a country is essentially the same as holding a country under siege, just the same as what they've done with Gaza Strip. I mean, sure, they're allowing movement across the borders of Iran, albeit very difficult, because if you are an Iranian citizen and you travel, bad things can happen to you, as we just saw happen with Marzia Hashimi, the Iranian reporter from Press TV who got arrested in the airport in the United States and held for 2 weeks without charge or trial, simply because she's an Iranian. And this is actually a black American woman as well. I mean, she's born in America. She's a Negro woman from America, an American citizen, studied journalism at the university, happened to get a job in Iran, and now is subject to all sorts of inhumane treatment at the hands of the United States government. But again, getting back to sanctions, I mean, sanctions are an act of war. Sanctions are an act of collective punishment. Sanctions are an act of putting a country under siege without really declaring war against them, which in itself is, again, an act of war. So couple that with the fact that they all support the state of Israel, which itself is carrying out collective punishment against Gaza Strip, which makes all of these politicians war criminals by default, even under their own legislation in their own countries. And then ask yourself, if this is the case, which it is and provably is, then how is any of the legislation they're writing and inflicting upon you valid when the legislation itself is being written by a war criminal who is in breach of their own legal code in their own country, as well as the International Geneva Convention preventing the carrying out of war crimes? How is anything these people say or do valid, folks? That's the question we need to be asking. I mean, seriously, if you think that legislation is real and everything they write down on paper actually means something, then this is the question that everybody should be asking. I mean, simply by a cursory examination of the legal system and asking this simple question, You can see that all the politicians break their own rules, folks. They're all war criminals anyway. And the legislation they inflict upon us is criminal legislation because the legislation causes harm in everything that it does. Now, anybody who's in a state of hardship due to legislation that's been imposed on them has had a crime committed against them because we created a legal system to prevent the causation of harm and to provide remedy when harm is caused. So if the politicians are using the legal system to cause harm and they are causing harm in the name of the law, but they are breaking their own laws to use the law to cause harm in the name of the law, then there is no law. It's pretty simple, folks. And that's the world that we've got. We've got a world that is not governed by any real law. It's certainly not governed by natural law when it should be. It's governed by legislation that politicians write on paper, yet they do not abide by their own legislation. They don't abide by their own rules, and they use these rules to inflict the rules against you. And again, the rules they inflict against you break their own rules that they write down to prevent the causation of harm. So the whole thing is backwards. The whole thing cancels itself out. And the whole thing should be a very clear indication to everybody that the world is run by criminals who've got everybody bamboozled by the fact that they put these fancy letterheads on paper and we all think that it's real simply because they write it down. It's crazy, folks. It's just completely crazy. And everything they do is crazy, and the problem is that it's all designed to be that way. I mean, even, again, putting sanctions against the country, what for? You're trying to prevent some sort of conflict with these people. You're trying to improve relationships with them. So you're going to put sanctions against the country and starve their children to death. Gee, that should do wonders to improve relationships with them. I mean, how do you create terrorists, folks? How do you create animosity towards the United States? You bomb the shit out of their country and create as many refugees and homeless people as possible, see as many children killed in front of their parents and as many parents killed in front of their children as possible. Or you go and put sanctions against the country and make it really difficult for the country to do anything so that they all hate America for what it's done to them. That's what you do. See, all of the stuff that they do in order to prevent conflict or to prevent the rise of terrorism simply creates conflict and creates the rise of terrorism. That's what they do. You know, if you wonder why there's white genocide happening in the world, you wonder why the white people are under such threat in South Africa, wonder why they're in such threat all around the world, it's because of what the governments do. You look at the world, the state of the world, and it's all done because of white people who run governments. So the white people get the blame, but really it's the governments. You really want to understand why white genocide is going on? Have a look at the actions of the United States government, the British government, and the government of Israel, and you understand it perfectly. And it's all about creating animosity, creating hatred, and creating the rise of terrorism, the rise of people who come into this world with a chip on both their shoulders because they've grown up in a war zone, and it's all been contrived to be that way by design, because there is no reason for any of these wars to be happening. None whatsoever. All of it is created by design, folks. And again, all of the governments work together to do it. All of them work together to create the situation in the world that we have right now. The whole thing has been contrived. And it's not just the United States, Britain, and Israel as well. I mean, I can include pretty well every country in Europe in that comment as well, and Australia. I mean, all of these countries are controlled by Israel anyway, and that's the problem. And they all work together to make sure the people are all faced off against each other. And the governments all work to do it. But if you travel yourself, you don't find anybody anywhere who wants to have a war. It doesn't matter what country you go to, you find friendly, hospitable people, but you find a government that is in fear of the guys over the fence and desperately trying to convince their population to feel the same way. Now, they do it, folks, because they need to have an enemy. Because without an enemy, you don't need government. That's what it's for. That's what governments do. They just manufacture conflict between each other to give themselves legitimacy and make the people believe that we actually need these people to be there when we don't. And the media, of course, perpetuates it as much as possible as well. Always keeps the people buying into the government line. You know, the media long since ceased to be the watchdog of government and is now the mouthpiece of government and basically works to promote war propaganda most of the time. I mean, look at Western media. That's its main activity, is the propaganda of war, which itself is one of the most serious war crimes you can carry out. But all the governments do it together, folks. They all work to make sure their people are scared of the people over the border. And all governments work together to do it. It's the same in every country you go to. It doesn't matter. You know, that's how it works, folks, because without that, the people would soon wake up to the fact that they don't need government. And just look at it. In any country. You know, if you've got people in Iran telling their people, you know, you've got government representatives in Iran telling their people, oh, don't trust the United States. These are bad people who want to do bad things to you. And you've got the West here saying, oh, no, we're not bad people at all, but we're going to put sanctions against your country. All you're doing is confirming what the politicians are telling their people. I mean, they're telling their people not to trust Americans, and here's America doing all this stuff against them, so it turns the people of Iran against the people of America. A lot of the people of America have got no control at all over what their government's doing, the same as the people in Iran. And if the people in each country actually want to find out what's going on, the only source they've got is the mainstream media, which just tells them the complete crock of shit and everything that the government wants them to believe. So the whole thing is one big contrived situation that's been orchestrated to be exactly the way it is. It's just one big theatrical sideshow designed to put cultures and people against each other. And all these governments do is reinforce each other's opinion of each other, so do their people all buy into it. It's one big scam, folks. The whole thing's a scam. Just this whole economically based reality we've got. Economic hitmen. I mean, all of these things that we're doing against these countries is simply economic hits. That's what a lot of these sanctions are. Look what Trump's done to Venezuela. What, 65 sanctions or something he's put against Venezuela? This is a country that is on the brink of collapse. The people are trying to recover from the fact that they've had incredibly corrupt governments for decades upon decades, trying to claw themselves back to some form of stability and dignity. And so here's Trump doing everything he can to prevent that country from getting any resources, prevent the people in the country from getting any resources, and to make sure that the country can have no economic recovery at all and ends up as a failed state so they can simply move in and take over the oil supply. Then they can feed it all back to their people in their own countries and milk them economically as well, because the whole economic slavery system is really what it's all about. And that's all Trump is doing in everything that he does. He's more of an arms salesman and an economic hitman than a president. And he's done the same thing to Palestine, removed all support from the Palestinian state, removed all support from anything even supporting the Palestinian state. I mean, he's basically giving them the ultimatum, capitulate or die. That's it. We're going to remove all support from you until you do what Israel says, which again is capitulate or die. I mean, really, folks, that is the sum total of Trump's foreign policy. I mean, his actions compared to what his speeches were, although some of his speeches were pretty bad, he did say he wanted to increase torture, and he did say he was going to bomb the shit out of Syria, so he did kind of let people know that he wasn't going to do the right thing. But honestly, it's a wonder that there's anybody still supporting this man at all. But the problem is that people can only think in two dimensions, and they think, well, if it wasn't this terrible person, then it would have to be the other terrible person. And they can't think past that box that their mind has been put in. I mean, you mention this to anybody, and their response is, you know, what's the option? The other side? Pig Clinton? I mean, that's not going to get you very far either. You know, people have to realize that both sides of the coin are just as corrupt as the other, and it doesn't matter what face they put on the coin, it's still the same corrupt system. It's still a person who's running the world as a business model and a people farm rather than anybody who's attempting to establish any form of human dignity. And that's what all these politicians do, folks. That's what all of them are about. None of the politicians that I can find anywhere in the world are doing anything to support the people at all. They're all just feathering their own nests and supporting the continuation of this same system of economic slavery. And ultimately all leading the world into the same digital smart prison in every single country on earth. One good thing is there has been an awful lot of outcry about 5G recently. A lot of people are making a good deal of noise about that. Recently my talk was released from AV9 as well, my talk from last May at Ian Crane's event at AV9. I do urge you to have a look at that. And when you are having a look at that, I also urge you to have a look at Dr. Graham Downing's talk on 5G and what this smart prison is doing as well. Graham does really deliver some good information in all the presentations that I've seen him give at the AV conferences. So I do urge you to have a look at that information. And that talk I gave was in May last year, but it's still just as relevant today as what it was on the day that I gave the talk. In fact, in many ways, it's probably even more relevant because you can see just how much of it has unfolded and all the things that I mentioned during that talk have come to pass. But the question is, folks, what is the positive side to all this? I mean, what is the action that we can take against it? You know, this is something that I've talked about for many years on the show, the simple act of non-compliance that would change things. And a lot of people don't really seem to understand what I mean by non-compliance, you know. And I can understand that if a single person chooses not to comply with this system, they're very likely going to get into a lot of trouble. But what if we did it in mass is the question. And people who hear that and they'll say, well, you're never going to get anyone to do it in mass. And my argument is that what they're saying by even making that statement is you're never going to get me to do it in mass. I'm not going to do it until someone else steps up. And you'll find the people around you won't step up because we simply have never developed any ties with the people around us. This is something that cities have done. You know, people who live in the country, I find, people who live a quarter of a mile or half a mile from each other all seem to know each other and get along well with each other. But people who live right next door to each other very often can't stand each other. You know, the closer you pack people into societies and cities together, then the more they lose their personal space and their personal freedom, and the more disconnected from each other they seem to become. But what if we could just choose to accept each other? What if we could just choose to look at things for being what they are and choose to agree to disagree on those things that we believe divide us? On the opinions and the belief systems that we believe divide us from others? Why do we feel antagonistic and angry, and why do we feel such animosity towards someone simply because they have a different belief system to what we have adopted? You know, everyone's been subject to different programming. Everyone's had different software installed in them through the programming. Everyone's had different influences in their lives. Everyone's had a different perspective to everybody else. Why can't we just accept that about each other? Because the moment that we do, and the moment that we realize we are all here together and that we are all facing a common problem, which is the system itself, then we can all agree to stop complying with our own slavery. We can all agree to step into our moral compass rather than abiding by legislation, which causes us to operate outside of our moral compass every single day of our lives. Now, why do we do this? We do this because we live in divided societies, divide and conquer. That's what it's all been about. That's what it's always been about. That's even what the education system has been about, folks. That's why they keep people in these classes and subject to peer group pressure and keep everyone competing with each other within these classes and grading children the way they do. Divide and conquer. It creates a separation between people. It creates a unwillingness to think outside the box, and we find that we lose confidence in ourselves if we can't think inside the box. Yeah, even when I was a child, I thought there was something wrong with me because I couldn't think like everybody else. I couldn't do these mundane, bland things that the society wanted me to do. I couldn't learn these bland, mundane lessons the teachers wanted to teach me. And I couldn't regurgitate the bullshit they were trying to feed me. I simply couldn't do it. And everybody else around me could. And I thought there was something wrong with me because of that. And that's what this system does. It teaches you that you're a lesser person if you don't comply with the general consensus. And it inhibits all type of free expression, all type of free thinking. And it causes us to judge not only ourselves, but also the people around us by their standing. By their standing within the system, by their standing within the education system, by their ability to be able to regurgitate things on command. And it causes a schism and a separation between people. That's what this whole grading peer group pressure system, which is the education slash indoctrination system in itself, that's how it works, folks. It creates this division in people by default simply because of the way the education system is constructed. And you cannot tell me that this isn't done by design, because it's gotten worse and worse and worse over the years. I mean, it was bad when I was at school. And now it's almost beyond reproach. I mean, now it's got to the point that it's literally destroying children's minds as early and as quickly as possible. And it is, folks. It really is. I mean, the education system, the child welfare system that we have in place in most Western countries now is borderline child abuse, if not open child abuse. It really is. The amount of children that get stolen from their parents simply because the parents don't comply with the government bottom line, the amount of people that lose their children simply because they won't inject poisons into them, when we know the vaccination system is incredibly corrupt and causing an irreparable amount of damage to the human species. And if people try to stand up against it, the government steals their children from them. And the children go to school, they get educated on how to be a good drone, how to not think outside the box, and they get taught to judge each other by their social standing. And they're losing their communication skills simply because of this texting culture that they're all being led into as well. People can't even spell anymore, and they're encouraged to get an app to check their grammar for them on their phone, because then they don't need to learn to spell. They don't need to learn any real understanding of the language that they use at all. All they need to do is know how to get likes, know how to look the right way, and do everything the system wants. And it's just taking all the skills away from the children, and that's very much what it's designed to do. And it's got to the point now that even if parents stand up against the system and try to teach their children the right thing, the schools have precedence over the parents. You know, you can have your child report their parents to the school now, and the school will do what it can to take the children away from their parents simply because the kids want the latest iPhone or something, and they feel like they're being left out because their parents are trying to actually teach them the right way of life, and the kids have been trying to just believe what the school is telling them. You got kids going home now, young children as young as 5 or 6 years old that want to buy transgender makeup kits because they're learning about it at school. And we even have transgender models that are like 8 years old now, folks. I mean, this is open child abuse that is now being taught in schools and now being promoted by government. And as I said, folks, you know, along with the vaccinations and the food and everything these people are doing, I mean, what's it going to take for the people of the world to actually stand up and do something about this? And again, all we really have to do is accept each other as what we are and realize just how far we've been led from what we should be. You know, it doesn't matter what your neighbors believe in. It doesn't matter what political party they support or what football team they support or what religion they support. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. All of it's irrelevant. Now, the human race is in a state of clear and present danger. We're all being played off against each other. It's all being done by design, and the governments are leading us into a very, very dangerous place. We're being set up, folks. The entire human race is being set up. Now, you think about it. You get everybody completely dependent upon a system. You only stock the supermarket shelves for 3 days at a time, and then you remove everybody's life skills from them, even their ability to be able to write properly or communicate properly with each other. And think about what happens. Think about the situation that you're led into from that point. Think about what the possibilities are. And when you look at the history of the world, folks, I mean, we know it's all contrived and corrupted and rearranged, but we can look at so many of the terrible things that have happened in history. Look at the aftermath of World War One and World War Two. Look at Bolshevism and look what happened during Bolshevism. And just think about how easy something like this could come about again. Simply because the people are failing to pay attention to what their governments are doing, and they're buying into the theatrics of being played off against each other, judging your neighbours as the bad guy, judging the people across the fence or across the border, or the people wearing different clothes from another religion as being the bad people, when really it's the governments that are doing it all, and all the governments right across the world are all working together, and they're all playing the people off against each other, and they're all leading us to exactly where they want to lead us. It's just up to us to wake up to this fact, folks, and realize just how easily we could actually change things if we could just accept each other for what we are. You know, simple acceptance, folks, it's really not that hard to do, but apparently if you look at the human condition, well, it's an almost insurmountable hurdle, which is a very strange thing in itself. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. Plenty more to come. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so the future does look pretty bleak, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sorry. I mean, it must seem sometimes like I come onto the show and I just spread massive amounts of negative information and make everyone feel bad about the world, and I don't really mean to do that. I mean, I do attempt to empower people, but by the same token, I can't simply turn a blind eye to what's going on and pretend that it's not happening. And I find that there's a lot of people in the so-called truth movement who do that. There's a lot of people who will not face the shadow, and that is what causes the shadow to grow. You know, say where attention goes, energy flows, but we give our attention to this shadow all the time by not looking at it. We give our attention to it by supporting it, by supporting the corrupt system, which is the shadow itself, but not looking at the mechanism of that shadow. And people may think, well, I'm not giving the negative stuff my attention, and so therefore I'm not manifesting it, so therefore it doesn't exist in my reality. But the fact that you need to pay to be alive, the fact that we are all facing this same smart grid that is rolling out in this whole 5G system means it is part of your reality. It's part of everybody's reality. But again, you know, the future is what we make it, and we don't have to move into this reality if we choose not to. It's just a matter of making that conscious choice. Now, a lot of people may think, well, look, I've already made that choice. I don't want to move into this reality, but we're moving into it anyway, and there's nothing I can do about it. That itself is what is creating it, folks, that type of defeatist attitude, because there is something we can do about it. As I said, what we can do is we can respect each other and we can accept each other. And if we can do that, and the moment we do that, then we can actually turn and face this system and heal the world in a day. It really would be that simple. The problem is that people can't see it because it is so simple. They just can't see the answer. They can't see the forest for the trees. And as usual, we are faced with the same dilemma that people want change, but they don't want to change. They want the world to be healed as long as they're not the ones who actually have to participate in implementing that healing. They just want to get a newsletter to be told that it's all been fixed now. That really is one of the big problems that we face, folks. Too many people standing around saying, well, the world's all messed up, someone should fix it, but they're not prepared to do so themselves. And the moment they do, then they could change the world in a day. But the problem is that most people don't want to do that. They just don't want to participate, and they don't believe in themselves enough to ever really want to stand up. That's something that we need to overcome with people. Now, if we can find ways of empowering people into really understanding the truth and the beauty and the power of themselves, that is the key to the whole thing, really. I mean, that's where the change has to come from. It has to come from within the hearts of the people, and that's not going to happen until they discover who and what they are. And that has been the underlying message of every show that I've done in the last 10 years since I started this radio show. It really has. Just attempting to find some way to crack that shell, even if it's one person at a time, just to help people wake up to the inherent power that exists within each of us. Because it's there, folks. It absolutely is there. Even if you think it isn't, well, if you look deep enough, you're going to find that it is. And that should be very reassuring for everybody. It really should. Now, if you can see this in yourself and see the value of yourself and realize that this is in everybody, all we have to do is help them discover it. It's a hugely empowering thing. You know, one of the big problems with people being the change that we need in the world, and with you being the change that we need, and it being an inherent power within everybody, is that everybody believes it requires active participation. You know, we've got to create a movement, and they've got to get out there on the streets, and they've got to start putting their back into the work and all this sort of stuff. People don't realize what non-compliance really is. They don't realize that all they have to do is shift their moral compass and change the way they interact with the people around them. It isn't any major work anybody has to do. There isn't some big movement that you need to join. You know, all you need to do is operate within your moral compass and the world will change. And you may think, well, it's not going to because other people won't operate within their moral compasses. But if you are operating within your moral compass, then it won't matter what they do. You know, you just won't be interacting with these people because they're not operating from a moral perspective. So you just ignore them, tell them to go away, don't have anything to do with them. Because once the majority of people step into their moral compass, then there's not going to be anything anyone can do to pull them in the other direction. I mean, if it causes you to deviate from your moral compass, then you're not going to do it. So the authority section of this society basically cancels itself out because it's all based on a lack of morals. It's all based on a respect for authority over a respect for what is right. And so the participation that you are involved in changing the system really is your non-participation. And that's the biggest protest anyone could do if we just all stayed home for a day. And what would the system do? What are they going to do? Come and drag you out of your home and tell you that you must go to work? They can't do that. The whole system would stop functioning, folks, if people simply pulled their energy from it. That's what real non-compliance is. I'm not saying stand there on a corner with a placard and a megaphone and be defiant and yell out that you're not complying with the world. I mean, it's not like that, folks. All you got to do is stay home and spend time with your family. Don't spend any money for a day. Imagine if no one spent any money for a whole day, the stock market would crash. Everyone would freak out. No one would know what to do. If people suddenly stopped using the system, even for one day, it would send a huge shockwave around the world, and it would be massively inspiring for people to do it on more days than one. And there's every reason to do this, folks. I mean, there's all sorts of information coming out now, even with the QAnon stuff. I mean, I don't trust QAnon. I don't trust the concept that Trump is the savior of humanity and some big movement's going to happen to change things from within the system. But one thing the QAnon information is doing is it's bringing information to people. It's alerting people to the fact that the world is completely corrupt. So that's a good thing. It is causing a huge awakening, and there are a lot of people that are feeling pretty empowered by things. I mean, the Yellow Vests in France are in their 10th or 11th week now, so that's an ongoing thing. Of course, the government's trying to vilify it, and they're trying to make out that these people are terrorists and they're doing bad things against the country, when really it's the government that are the terrorists and doing bad things against the country. But we know the media is going to play it the way the media plays it. But still, the people are not letting up. They're continuing this push to change the government system in their country, and it's a good thing, and we could be doing this all around the world. But even with that, I mean, we don't need to be on the streets marching like that. I mean, marching on the streets, it's good to show solidarity with people, but you don't need to get out there and put yourself in the firing line. All you need to do is stay home and step into who and what you are, and the system disappears. It's really that simple. And hopefully that's what these movements will do. That's what QAnon and the Yellow Vests and all these movements will do to people. Hopefully it will provide that inspiration for them to rediscover themselves, because that's really the root of the whole problem, this loss of self. You know, I've talked about it so many times, but really that is the key to the whole thing, folks, because the moment we find ourselves and realize the true power of ourselves and stop complying with our own slavery, the world will change in that one moment, and that's all it would take for it to happen. It seems too simple for people, but really, that's all it would take, folks. And really, that's the only thing that will change the world, is when people choose to change how they interact with the world. But it's the people who have to act. They can't expect that the government is going to change anything or save them. I mean, even with everything Trump's doing in the United States, how can people believe that this is this battling underdog standing up against the system? I mean, it's just the same system, folks. Nothing has changed. Even with the building of the border wall and all the stuff he wants to do, I mean, the tantrum that he's throwing with shutting down the government, I mean, how can you think that this is going to fix anything? Okay, build my wall or I'll shut the government down, and that's the way it is. And even if he builds the wall, folks, how is that going to fix things in the United States? Well, you really think that the world's going to change if Trump builds a wall between the United States and Mexico? What's it going to do? It's going to do nothing. I mean, all the claims that he's making that it's going to stop the drug trade and the human trafficking trade, most of the human trafficking is coming in through Haiti, through the Clinton Foundation and Dime Corp. Most of the drug trade, most of the drugs are being smuggled in by the CIA anyway. So it's not going to make a lick of difference if they put a border wall in Mexico, because most of the drugs are coming from the CIA-run opium fields in Afghanistan and from the CIA drug mules that are running out of Venezuela, Colombia, and Peru. So it's not going to make a lick of difference, this border wall. It's just one big show of theatrics to appease the people for a little while and present Trump to the world as the struggling underdog and make the people think that there's actually some sort of a difference being made when there isn't. Now, all it is theatrics to distract people from this whole smart grid that's rolling out underneath them. And through it all, people just don't see that they are the change, and the moment they change the way they interact with the world, they can change the world, because this whole system only exists because we believe it's real. This whole fictional belief in authority and this belief that someone else can come and save you when you are really the only one who has ever been capable of saving yourself, and it's the same with everybody. You know, we are our own salvation, ladies and gentlemen. All we need to do is realize that. And all we need to do to really realize it is look within, see what's really there, and see the power that that actually holds. I mean, I know I say it over and over again, and people say, well, can you be a little bit more specific? I mean, can you not be so esoteric about it? And I don't know how to put it any simpler, folks. I mean, you have this incredible power within you. All that you are facing in the world out there is just people the same as you, the ones who believe they have authority over you and who choose to exercise that authority are doing so because they themselves have stepped into their power and they're choosing to exert that power against other people. And the other people are just cowed and compliant and so disconnected from themselves that they simply do what they're told and they roll over on command. But the point is that you don't have to, ladies and gentlemen. That's the thing. You know, it really is so simple. It's so ridiculously simple that, again, as I keep saying, people can't see the forest for the trees. You know, all the moral and spiritual understandings that people have gained over the years through all the research they've done, all the internal work they've done, all the work they've done on themselves, all they need to do is apply these understandings to the world around them, rather than believing it's all internal. You know, you need to change the internal you. Of course you do. You need to see the real you that exists there and understand what you truly are, but you need to apply these understandings to the world that you live in. That's where the New Age movement falls down, because it teaches people about all these inner growths that they can experience and all this inner work they can do, but then it tells them to sit there in a bubble of narcissism and meditate for the rest of their lives. It never allows you to look outside of yourself or the world that you inhabit and the world that you're interacting with. And it never teaches you to apply those spiritual understandings to the world and what an incredible change you could make were you to do so. You know, all the change that I've managed to make, I mean, you may think, no, you haven't made any change at all, but I've reached a lot of people, folks. I've managed to speak to people in a way they can understand, and really all I've done is apply my spiritual understandings to the external world that I live in. That's all I've done, is apply myself to the world. And apply myself to it not by participating in the system, but by participating in being a human being. Being a real human being and helping other human beings, that's what changes things, folks, and I'm living proof that it works. And so that's why I attempt to offer this perspective to people anyway. That's why I attempt to offer this advice to people. Because I can see the change that has happened in my life and the change that has happened around me, with people around me, simply by applying these understandings to the world. And I just imagine what could happen if everybody did that. Now, I'm not making any claims about myself or anything. I'm just trying to offer inspiration to others so they can see how it works. And I'm not saying everybody needs to think like me. No, I'm just saying everybody needs to examine their moral compass and see whether they are acting within the parameters of what is right in what they're doing, or whether they're simply obeying legal fiction, and whether that legal fiction is causing them to operate in a anti-life, anti-human type of manner, because you'll find that most legislation does. You know, most rules are put in place to support the company, not to support the people. And that's a big problem, folks. You know, I've said so many times, yeah, we created a legal system and a financial system, an economic system, a social system, apparently to support humanity and to provide for humanity's needs. And yet somehow within the parameters of this system, humanity has become the most expendable thing within it. You know, we discard people all the time in order to balance the books and support the economic model. But the economic model was created in order to support the people. So how did things become so backwards? Again, it's because we step outside our morals and we obey the dictates of the economic system rather than what our own conscience tells us we should do. Many people don't listen to their conscience anymore. They don't want to listen to that annoying little inner voice which is niggling at them to do the right thing. They just want to make the profit and go to the party. That's unfortunately the society that we've got. But ultimately, what causes it in people really is fear. I mean, and if you look at this fear, it's economically based fear. You know, people say, well, I want to stop complying with the system, but how would I survive? Because that's the thing, you see. You have to pay to be alive, and that's how they do it. And again, this is all about energy, isn't it? Everything that you collect money for, you expend that money on the payment of energy. You know, the payment for fuel for your car, the payment to light your house, to put a roof over your head, to cook your food. All the things that we do that we need energy for, this energy is the main expense in our lives. Even the price we pay for food is because the energy it takes to grow the food and transport the food. You know, if we had free energy, then we wouldn't be in this situation, we wouldn't be fighting wars. We wouldn't be in this constant state of scarcity that we're kept in. And that's the thing, folks. It all comes down to energy and the gathering and collection and payment of energy. You know, we need this stuff. And the fear of not being able to pay for it and the fear of being left out in the cold is what keeps people running on the treadmill the way they do. And it's what keeps them compliant with the system. You know, civilization is a really interesting thing. You know, when you look at civilization, you look at cities, there's nothing really about civilization that supports the human experience. There isn't. You know, what it does is detract from the human experience. What it does is it removes our life skills from us, and it makes us dependent upon a system which simply does not have our best interests at heart. And it affects us on so many other levels as well. Even the fact that we're constantly walking on flat surfaces with geometric corners and things everywhere, we're not in a natural state when we're living in a city. You know, one of the best things people could do for themselves and for freedom really would be to get out of the cities. But the problem is, even when doing that, we've destroyed so much of the countryside now, and people have put so many fences up and claimed the countryside as being their own, that it becomes almost impossible to do that as well. So we've really been maneuvered into a position where we've been set up for failure, folks. We've been set up to be wiped out. I mean, have a look at the earth, really. The cities don't serve us. The cities are these huge metal, bitumen, glass, magnetic traps. They're not anything that supports human life. The only thing that about a city that does support human life is the fact that you can go to a supermarket and you can buy food there, but you'd be far better off living in the country and just picking your food from the trees or growing your own food or living in a state where we had kin domains and living in a state where we had permaculture and where people were living in harmony with the land would be far better. I mean, this is probably the best thing anyone can do. If you're really concerned about what the future is going to hold, then find a way of getting out of the cities, folks, as quickly as you can, I would suggest. These are not places that are going to be anywhere you want to live in the very near future, because cities themselves have been set up to fail. And even when I look at the fact that the Chinese are now going out of their way to move everybody into these big ghost cities that they built everywhere, this also spells a impending action to me. I mean, there's something happening, folks. There's an event coming, and they want people in the cities, not only so they can be tracked, but they want to be able to exterminate mass amounts of people in one go. And people that are in cities, well, they're very easy to wipe out, folks. I mean, I know a lot of this sounds pretty negative, but we've got an event coming. I mean, whatever it is, there is an event coming. When I've been looking at what's been going on with history and this mud flood and the possibility of reoccurring cataclysms, which I am really starting to find a lot of credibility in this concept, folks, the idea that there are regularly occurring cataclysms that happen on this earth, whatever form they may take. I mean, I'm hearing all sorts of different theories put out, but it really does seem to be the case that there is some sort of cycle of recurring catastrophes that happens on this earth, and we're just simply not being told the truth about everything. And they're setting us up for another one of these. I think that's why we've all been pushed into these cities, because it's an easy way to cull the population. And I think there is a big cull on its way. Like I said, I don't want to sound negative, but well, that's just what I'm feeling, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, so much stuff has been coming out lately, all this stuff about history. There's so much information coming out now, and I kind of wonder why none of it's being stopped. None of the flow of this information is being stopped. I'm still wonder why I'm allowed to do what I do and why there's never been any attempt to shut me down. I mean, sure, I've been hacked. I've had all sorts of problems with my computer. I've had all sorts of problems getting my YouTube clips watched by people because they kept my channel back for so many years. But I look at it now. I mean, it's grown like 130,000 subscribers in the last 18 months, my channel. What's all that about? I mean, how come they held me back for 10 years and kept me at 29,000 subs for like 10 years? And then suddenly it's grown to almost 160,000 subscribers in a matter of 18 months. I mean, what's all this about? Why isn't the information being suppressed? Why aren't I stopped more? Why aren't I checked up on more? Why am I allowed to say the things that I say? I mean, I wonder about all of it, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. So, again, not trying to be negative, but I can just feel some sort of an event happening, and I think it's interesting. I think it's going to be something worth paying attention to. You know, a month or two back, I put out a show entitled History is a Lie, We've Been Set Up. And in that show, I examined the concept of recurring cataclysms. I looked at the mud flood. I discussed the foundlings, the orphan trains, the fact that so many children had been shipped around the world in the late 1800s, and the evidence that would suggest that the world suffered a cataclysm in the mid-1800s and was repopulated in the late 1800s by children. And if this happened, how easy it would have been to feed the children whatever history you wanted to feed them. And after I released that show and I got nearly 600,000 views and 8,000 comments in only 2 weeks, YouTube restricted the clip, and then a couple of days later my computer got hacked and all of my data got deleted. And it really made me think about things, folks. Because really, when you look at the society we've got now and you factor in the reality of how much we are actually losing our life skills, just how many life skills we've lost over the last 3 generations, you begin to see just how much we are being set up. And like I said, you know, when you examine some of the terrible things that have happened in our history, when you examine Bolshevism and you see just how the people were set up for that to happen, well, when you look at the world today, folks, you see exactly the same things being set up. People are being maneuvered into a position where they simply cannot look after themselves. They are becoming completely dependent upon this system, completely dependent upon the structure of the city. And the cities are supplied externally. All you have to do is take out the highways, take out the trucks, take out the flow of food, and the cities will fail, the cities will crumble, and the people within the cities will destroy each other. The whole thing has been a setup, folks. Humanity has been put in a very, very precarious position, and we are quite literally teetering on the brink of annihilation, of our own annihilation, at our own hand, if we just don't pay attention. And that's what will bring it on. I mean, that's what's brought it on to begin with, is our failure to pay attention to the realities of this world. And it's important that we do so, folks. You know, I've been calm and collected in a lot of these shows for so many years. I've been trying to help people become empowered and realize the beauty of themselves and face the reality of what is going on around us. But now things are getting really serious, ladies and gentlemen, and it truly is time for people to pay attention. It's time for mankind to make a stand. It really is, because very soon that window will close and we won't have a chance to make the stand that we should have made, the one that we should be making now. Now's the time, folks. Consider your children and consider this world and really consider what a difference you could make if you just stood up to be counted. And really, that's all it would take. And once we do that, we can take the world in any direction we want to take it into. The decision is with us, and it's always been with us. The only problem is that people have failed to ever realize that and to step into that and to step into who and what they are. Once they do, it will make all the difference. It really will. And really, that's the only way that any change or any difference is ever going to be made. I know it's uncomfortable to think about, folks, but ultimately the responsibility for your life lies with you. Well, unfortunately, we have now reached that time where we are again at the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Bit of a mixed bag for you today, but then I think most shows are pretty much of a mixed bag. You never really know where the conversation's going to go. That's the problem with the world these days, folks. It seems to remain the same, but it does change. There's always plenty of theatre for us to go on with every week. But again, the agenda just seems to march steadily forward, regardless of the theatre that they give us. But it's been a pleasure to come and talk to you again, folks. Again, I will be speaking at Anacapulco on the, I think it might be the 14th of February or the 15th of February. I'm not sure. The event goes from the 13th until the 17th of February, and somewhere during those days I'll be delivering a talk, and I'll also be doing a workshop while I'm there as well. And it's going to be quite a long workshop, probably around about 4 hours or something like that. There's a lot of information that I'd like to share. I'd like to try to tie together all the stuff that I've looked at over the last 10 years, the rise of this industrial system, the rise of this civilization, the rise of the technocracy that is coming into place to enslave us, and most certainly a look at history and what's brought us to this point, the fact that most of our history has been fabricated. So do check out that workshop if you are coming to Anacapulco. I'm sure you'll find some details on the website. If not, you'll be sure to find some details there at the event. There's another event that is happening close by to Anarchapulco called Anarchawakening as well. So that's another event you can go to. I'm not sure where you'll find details to that, but I think if you search on Facebook for Anarchawakening, you will find a link to that, I'm sure. So there's going to be all sorts of things happening during the event, the Anarchapulco event, and it's always a great event, folks, and I do urge you to come. If you haven't got a ticket yet, I do urge you to get one. It's always a very, very good turnout. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's been great to come and talk to you again. And again, thank you to the many people who send me so many kind emails and to the many people who support me on Patreon. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you. And thank you to all the support you've shown me over the years and that you continue to show me. And again, folks, I'll be back to speak to you again next week, but then I will be taking a week off while I'm traveling to Mexico. There's a possibility that I may have to take 2 weeks off because I have to travel to LA after Mexico, but I will try to record a show for you while I'm actually in Acapulco, so that would be good if I can do that, and I'll try to bring that to you the following week. But if I can't, then I will be definitely back to speak to you the week after. So we'll just have to play that by ear and see where it goes. But that is it for me, folks. I've now run completely out of time. Thank you very much for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.